press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater, pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, it has been a New York minute since the last time we recorded a Twin Talk.
I know, it has been forever. Like, literally, I don't even want to get into, like, why, other than y'all, we were booked.
The boys have been booked. It's the craziest, busiest time of the year. So we just felt like you'd rather hear from the people starring in the hottest shows this spring than us. But, you know, we are the stars of our show. Trust.
Period. But Dylan, I'm super proud of all of the amazing episodes we've released this season with mostly people who are in shows making up the Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret scene of the live entertainment world, because we delivered in a way where I feel like we have struggled in years past. Like,
yeah, and then drama originalists, or whatever we call our longtime listeners.
The OG drama fam.
Drama fam is the easiest thing to say, because I do think it's kind of tacky when people name their listeners something.
Remember when Stassi from Vanderpump Rules, okay, this is very
random. I don't know where this is going.
She named her fans Khaleesi's.
You know, Game of Thrones really had a moment.
Like, literally, the spinoff series has aired last night. That was the major big event of the TV world last night, y'all.
Yeah, that's Thrones. What we're here to talk about.
So we're here to get into... Wait, what's the show called?
House of the Dragon.
Which was obviously the event of the season 2 years ago, but...
But anyways, in years past, when we have episode releases during Tony season, it's very difficult to get people who are currently in shows because of the demanding 8-show-a-week schedule, the other press demands, things like that. But this year, what you were starting to say is we were actually really able to chat with people, whether it was before their show had started or they were, you know, finally getting into the groove of things. And I am also proud of us.
I know, like, we didn't really have many repeat shows either. You know, we had someone from... We tried to get someone from almost everything, but
we
like,
did
you
try.
Know,
and there will be more coming up.
Oh, y'all, get ready. We got Softs coming. We've got Stereophonic coming.
We got Illinois.
We've got Illinois. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Hopefully Hell's Kitchen. Hopefully.
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, after they listen to this breakdown, who knows if they'll want to put us on.
You know what? Fair enough. Fair enough. I know. You know, we did this live recording with Eli Tokash from the Take a Bow podcast. And we had said we hadn't really had the chance to talk about Hell's Kitchen on our show yet. And that's because that one, Water for Elephants and Illinois, were our last three that we needed to see before the awards.
Yeah.
So Patreon listeners will know I snuck in a little extra trip to New York to get to see them. Anyways, we saw all the new musicals that were nominated, most of the plays and revivals. So last night, the Tony Awards was absolutely a blast to watch, right?
Oh my God. It feels like just yesterday that it was last year's Tonys. You know, this season was bigger than ever, and next season's going to be even bigger. Even bigger. I mean, not to be a size queen on the pod, but I don't know if bigger is better in this case. Like,
I know. Well, as we learned this year with 15 new musicals, it might not have been. But next year's like a different flavor. It's, I think producers realized what sells is celebrity-led musicals, revivals, plays. And so that's basically what we're getting next season. Around every corner, I feel like there's another announcement of another star. We just had the Nick Jonas, Adrian Warren announcement. Obviously, Audra and Gypsy. All things we've yet to talk about. Although we have talked about Nicole Scherzinger and Sunset Boulevard ad nauseum, which we're most gagged for.
Oh, I mean, it's like all I think about every day. Just kidding. But Dylan, I think our next Twin Talk should be looking ahead at the next season.
A season preview.
Yeah, because there is so much and I'm already stoked. But y'all, just to say again, if we didn't get to your favorite show yet, if you didn't hear from your favorite, a cast member from a show you've been waiting for, like I said, we listed some off at the beginning. We've got even more from shows that already we've had some representation on. I'll just
Yeah.
say this. We had a greaser. We have a Soch coming. I'll
We
say this.
do.
We had from Cabaret, we had a Nazi. We're having a Cabaret artiste come there. So things like that. We're switching it up. We're bringing it. And I can't wait. But last night was a Tony's. So last year, I watched from the Kimberly Akimbo Top Dog Underdog party from, work. This
Yeah.
year, I watched from the Who's Tommy party.
So
And
jealous. You're such a glamorous twin.
oh my God. No. I texted you like 5 minutes before the telecast. Well, okay, before Act Two started. Or wait, what are we calling it? Act One. And then
The
what was the
main,
CBS
well, maybe the
party?
main broadcast.
The main. I wished you were with me.
Yeah, it would have been fun. But I have to say, from what I've heard from people who go every year, the preferred is typically on the couch.
Period.
Everyone who's, we talk to people who are nominees, what was the experience like? They often say that they prefer watching from their pajamas. And there is something so communal about the live tweeting aspect, even though Twitter is so different than it used to be. But some of my favorite memories from when we were in college, and I mean, I guess even going back to high school, was tweeting the Tonys live. And now doing it from drama is so much fun. I have to say, we were firing him off last night, not without little controversy here and there, which give him something to talk about, right?
We had Broadway playwrights arguing with our dear listeners in the mentions, which to me means we've made it. We've made
Absolutely.
it. No, but Dylan, you were killing it.
Well,
Okay.
I probably had a little bit more access, to being online because you were out in the wild and Hunter and I were just on my couch. But I have to say, Hillary Clinton introducing Suffs, I had to tweet about it. The tweet crossed into what can only be described as political Twitter or alt-right Twitter. The responses have all of them have made me laugh, to be honest with you.
They're crazy. People are nuts. But
Right.
some of my favorite tweets about Hillary Clinton were like, she's in the caftan. She's in this gaggy caftan. And people were tweeting like, she looks like she's about to sing Losing My Mind at Cafe Carlyle. It's
Yes.
so
Yes.
good.
Even the way that her hair was styled, she was kind of giving Barbara Cook. And so I understand, and Hillary is obviously a huge supporter of the arts. I'm sure we've talked about this before, but I remember in the aftermath, when she finally emerged from the woods after losing the election in 2016, she started making,
Post-Chappaqua.
yeah, post-Chappaqua, she started making appearances at Broadway shows. And I remember seeing a video of her going to see The Color Purple.
I think it was closing color P.
Wow. And the audience gave her a standing O
Yeah.
before the show started, which is so cool. And I don't know if she got a standing O last night, but I definitely thought it was iconic that she was there at the awards and so many celebrities were out and about. I'm curious how your experience was, though, at the Who's Tommy party.
Oh my God, it was so fun. Like, it was kind of chill at first because it's a lot of the co-producers, it's friends of the show, et cetera, et cetera. And then once the cast performed, then they all came with their guests and they're all turning looks. It was like so fun.
Oh,
All
so the
they.
cast didn't go and get seated at
No.
Lincoln Center. Interesting.
Most people, I don't know if this is common knowledge, but most casts of shows don't attend the Tonys. Like, unless you're a nominee. You're not there. And I guess unless you just perform, you're not there. I don't know. It's really hard to say, but like I remember, was it the cast of In the Heights that like all bought tickets to go to the Tonys and they were
I definitely
seated?
know there's some story about
There's
either the
stories
producers
there.
buying tickets for the whole cast or something along those lines.
Yeah, there's not enough seating. Like even like people who produce the shows, co-producers, et cetera, like they're not always given seats. It's actually a huge drama. And because the show was in the Koch Theater at Lincoln Center this year, much smaller space than, say, Radio City, it was tight. Getting a ticket was tight, very tight.
And there was all this kerfuffle online about all of the theater press outlets that weren't allowed to be on the press line. But I will say, closed mouths don't get fed. And I know that a lot of the people who complained, rightfully so, open letters to the Tonys press team, Tonys in general, they all ended up back in either the press room or on the press line. So similar to the stereophonic outcry of them not getting a slot to perform, they ultimately did. And I saw that a lot of theater press ultimately was at the Tonys. So
Yes, so
You got to
true.
advocate for what you need and what you want and what's right.
You have to. The sensation of being a Karen was much maligned, but I think Gen Z has quickly learned that to be a Karen means to get what you want ultimately. So, and to complain to the manager, I mean, you know what I mean? But Dylan,
Do
let's.
Karens ultimately get what they want? Who knows? But,
They
in this.
certainly, if they're bringing back the outfit they want returned at the Macy's and the tags are off, Sometimes it helps to ask to speak to the manager. But anyway, don't too soon, too soon. But anyway,
Literally me 3 hours ago, but yes.
we need to get into Broadway's biggest night, okay?
As they call it.
Because so much happened. This is the, I think it's the longest award show ever between the 6:30 to 8 portion, the 8 to 11:15 portion. Like, I mean, we see every award get given. We see all the honorary Tonys. We see all the performances that are provided. And we see multiple hosts. You know, there was the Act One host, and then there was Ariana DeBose, the main telecast host, who, I mean, she's host. Is this her third year in a row or just
Third
her
year in a
second?
row for both her and Julianne Hough.
Oh, okay. I wish they let both of them do all of it together because I think they could really play off each other in a fun way. Like, Julianne obviously
Yeah.
has amazing hosting skills as she does it now on Dancing with the Stars.
She does.
And
But
Ariana,
we
you know,
stan. We do stan.
we're a House of Huff stands. House of Huff. Forget House of the Dragon. House of Huff.
Hough.
House of Huff here.
Okay.
And Julianne Hough is so charismatic, natural. The way she was able to kind of give some off-the-cuff moments referencing the speech that just happened, and she could go off book and it fit in. It was endearing. She really ate that, Dylan, don't you think?
Oh, she did. She's so warm. I mean, you know how I always say that Hailee Steinfeld should be the most famous woman in America?
I do.
Hunter said, she's my Hailee Steinfeld last night during the show because it was so natural. And I love that they did let her introduce Illinois then in the main broadcast. For me, she was a highlight. I have to say, you know, the first half included some of my favorite moments of the night in
Oh,
general.
okay.
I really thought that all the speeches, and I think it's because they're given a little bit more time during that portion. But especially the honorary Tonys, like Jack O'Brien's speech was so incredible. George C. Wolfe, who is such a visionary and has had such an incredible career, he's obviously going to be directing Gypsy with Audra next season. But I loved what he said about it doesn't need to look like you to be about you. I
Ooh.
thought that was such a powerful moment. At that point in the night, I just really felt like we were still letting the awards breathe and there was no urgency or rush. The competition hadn't heated up yet, like I do feel like it did later on.
Yeah.
And so we were able to just take in these powerful moments. And then, of course, Billy Porter, an icon.
Absolutely iconic. The vocal crack. I mean, it really all just felt classic Billy P. I have to say though, my big complaint about Act One is that, to your point, it does feel like it's a little live streamed. It doesn't cut away to the audience. You don't see the reactions. Like, there was an Eden Espinosa comment. Was it Julianne who said, "Paint me like one of your French girls," or was that Ariana later?
Ariana said to that later.
Okay, well, it's to my point about audience reactions. Like, they didn't know where Eden was. So that was an odd moment where you can't even cut to her making like a, "Oh my God," or, you know, whatever she decides to do to the camera. So that was like actually annoying to me. But they didn't
Yeah.
cut it to them at all, really, in the first bit. Like, sure, there was like the Liev Schreiber moment where that was obviously planned, where,
Yes.
you know, they're talking to him. But it just feels a little like, okay, we're live streaming this. There's no performance from Julianne. There was that lovely montage at the start, but other than that, it does feel a little like low budget. It feels low budget. So I wish they
Maybe
could.
Pluto TV didn't have the coin.
Pluto TV needs a GoFundMe because we need Julianne to be doing a number. We need something more during that to make it feel a little more award showy, because right now it just doesn't for me. It just doesn't. In fact, I found myself wandering a little. I was like, oh, okay, like, let me look at my phone. I don't know.
Well,
But
you were also getting ready to go for the
true.
main broadcast. I felt very settled during that section, I have to say.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
But so, okay, you said there were some of your favorite moments were from that bit. So give me some more.
Hannah S. Kim, who won for the lighting design. Like she was the projection artist, and then the gentleman she worked with was the lighting designer for The Outsiders. And her speech for me was so heartfelt and funny and authentic. I love those just as much as I love the very prepared, powerful, inspirational speeches. I loved that. And then I really loved Ryan Roomery, who was the sound designer for Stereophonic. His speech, you know, he dropped an F-bomb and it seemingly derailed.
Sent the live stream. Oh my God, the train went off the tracks.
It was this year's version, I guess, of the Michael Arden faggot with a Tony from last year.
Title of last year's ep, by the way. Well, you know,
Yes.
ask me what I had for
Yep.
lunch today. I don't know, but I do remember Faggot with a Tony was the name of last year's Tony recap episode. But go on.
A variation on that, but yes, it was great. And I just love the way that he was able to speak to Stereophonic. And I don't know, I just feel like I was so invested in this season that maybe it really spoke to me. And also, I was loving All the Wins. And so the last moment I want to say about that first part is when Jonathan Tunick won for Best Orchestrations for Merrily We Roll Along. Fun fact, he first orchestrated that show 43 years ago and then reorchestrated it for subsequent revisals that Sondheim did. He did different work on the show over the years in different productions.
Yeah.
And then with this being like the first Broadway revival, he then reorchestrated his original with some of the other ones, from what I understand. I had to do a little research.
Wow. I did not expect that when Jonathan Tunick goes up to accept a Tony Award for Merrily We Roll Along, why am I going to cry right now? That really touched me in a way that I did not expect. You know, when you work in this business and you talk about the business and you live it and you breathe it, you get jaded, you get frustrated, you forget, you know, whether it's on my Twitter or my Instagram and my job and my everyday on the show. But that was one of those moments that made me love the community and love the work and love the art, because I thought to myself, oh my God, this musical was a flop. It was a flop. I mean, we all watched that incredible documentary, The Best Worst Thing That Could Have Happened, that ever could have happened. I forget the title of the, if the doc title was the same as the song title or the lyric, but oh my God, Dylan, to hear that Merrily We Roll Along won a Tony Award, that moved me deeply. I texted you, I was like, I'm crying.
Yeah.
It really did.
Let's talk about Merrily here and like the way that the rest of the night went for it. Because arguably, I think everybody is saying the biggest snub of the night was Maria Friedman not getting Best Director for Merrily We Roll Along.
And the show won Best Revival Musical. It won Best Leading Actor for Jonathan Groff, Best Featured Actor for Daniel Radcliffe. It got orchestrations. Did it get any others? Was it just four?
It was just the four.
Okay.
Many people thought it was going to have six, you know, with Lindsay Mendez and Maria Friedman winning in their respective categories. But I have to say, I was genuinely shocked. It was a twofold moment. I was shocked and a little bit sad at first because I thought, oh, I love Maria Friedman is obviously such an icon. You know, she was the narrator in the Donny Osmond, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat film that we loved. But also the story behind it, you know, the revival story, it recouped, it's extended, it's a smash, it's truly a hit.
The toast of the town.
Truly. But then I also thought, oh, well, The Outsiders is probably going to win Best Musical now. And this is incredible because, you know, Danya Taymor's very strategic directing of the show that feels like it's constantly moving and also constantly feels like scenes or chapters, which, you know, coming from two other adaptations, a film and a book, and also staging that violence so beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty violent show throughout.
Totally.
She really, really made it feel so visceral and powerful that of course she deserved it as well. I think I was just a little bit sad for the legacy of Merrily. I kind of wanted it to have that as well.
I know, me too. I'm totally with you. She fixed a flop.
Yeah, which we were on Matt Koplik's podcast and I had said that she fixed a flop. Matt Koplik was very quick to tell me that she didn't fix it, but maybe it's like this Mandela effect of like, oh, this is just the best of, we've just gotten so used to the material over the years that now we just feel like it finally all fits.
Oh, that's an interesting take. I think she clarified it, but
that's a great way of putting it.
Don't you think?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I preferred it to the Fiasco production that we saw Roundabout pre-pandemic as well.
Yeah. And making it a memory piece. Brilliant.
We shared all these same sentiments on Twitter that night and people were very quick to say, actually there was another production that was done and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Here's the thing. All those productions that y'all just named, I have never freaking heard of. This is the Broadway revival starring three superstars. This is the one that we're all talking about this season. Forgive me for not knowing the regional production that you mentioned. You know, I do know that this production had legs in Boston at one point. You know, I know that maybe this was also done in London at some point, but we're talking about this one. Okay. So people love to be so know-it-all. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And you know what? It was sublime. I loved it. It so deserved Best Revival. I loved in that speech when Sonia Friedman, she said her bit and then she said, I'm going to pass this off to my sister, and gave Maria the opportunity to say what she probably would have said in her own acceptance speech. And oh my God, I'm going to cry again. I guess I'm an emotional wreck today. But when she talked about Sondheim's words about making it popular.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing exactly what she said, but everyone needs to go and watch her speech because she said it way better than I am. But that was chef's kiss, cherry on top of this Merrily revival and this experience of everything they did.
I do have a fun Maria Friedman story.
Okay, go,
So
come on.
the first fall that I worked at 54 Below, she did like a 4-night run as like a headliner during the month of September 2017. And it was like her, the first time I think that she had been on the New York stage since Woman in White. And she was like kind of going through it at the time. Like, I think it was just a very overwhelming experience. And her show was very long, and shows at 54 had to be 75 minutes long. Wait, maybe I should save this for the book that I often joke about. All I'll say is before the
No, this is
show,
juicy.
I went to speak with her because we were live streaming a few of the numbers, and she did sob into my arms, and I comforted her, and it felt like a very, from a selfish full circle moment, because she was sort of like this motherly figure as narrator in Joseph, and you know, very warm, and I felt like I was able to then be a warm presence of comfort to her in that, in this real life moment. So maybe I was a little biased with wanting Maria Friedman to win.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Also, I love the sisters moment because it makes me think of us working together in real life.
Dylan, I'm such an idiot. I thought, oh, Sonia Friedman's sister is about to come out. Like, am I okay?
That's actually really funny.
Another one of my favorite moments, Jonathan Groff winning his Tony. I mean, what more can be said that hasn't already been said about him? And especially on this podcast, we love him. But that speech that he gave is going to be an all-time best Tony Award speech ever. Because although he's not like overdue, it was like his time to win a Tony. And in this perfect role for him, in this fabulous production, the way he was able to bring us in, give some life story, give some career, throw it to Spring Awakening, to the Spring Awakening experience.
That was for
That
us.
was for us talking about Pennsylvania, talking about like being this Midwest kid, although recently people are arguing that Pennsylvania is not the Midwest, which we can get into another conversation. But it was so touching. You can tell he loves this community. He loves being a part of it. And I don't know. It really just felt like we all won in that moment. We no
Yes.
one can argue with that win, right? Like he really
Yeah.
deserved this night. Now, it was my first thought. What's Leah doing? What will Leah's reaction be? Like, when is she going to take to Instagram? When is she going to provide a reaction? Will she be there an after party? So I did take a screenshot, Dylan, of
Okay, I was
this.
going to say, what is the follow-up on that?
Okay, so she didn't post anything last night. I don't know what she was doing. Maybe she was watching it from home, whatever. Leah reposted a screenshot of a graphic, either from the Tonys or from Marilyn's Instagram. I'm not sure which. But it's of, announcing Jonathan Groff, Marilyn Rollong. And she wrote this with a bunch of exclamation points. And then she wrote, so proud and happy, bottom looking up at his top emoji, heart eye emoji. And I loved that.
Thank
I'm
goodness.
so
You know, she's
glad.
pregnant. She probably was either watching from home or went to bed a little bit early, but
How fun would it have been if she would have been there
I know.
to present him? Oh my God, that would have been. That
Yeah.
would be like Sutton giving Gavin his Tony,
Right.
even though like Leah's never been nominated, but will be next season when she's in another musical, probably. Wink. Anyway, loved the Jonathan win, loved the Daniel win.
Yeah, both speeches were so heartfelt. And this is actually Daniel Radcliffe's first major award that he's ever won. So, like, in my eyes, like, this just feels like he's been so good to the Broadway community. He's generous, from what Katie Rose Clark told us when she did the pod, which they all call him Dan, saying that, like, he's just so fun and normal and everything. People who become famous when they're kids can oftentimes become people who become famous when they're kids, sometimes I think go down different pathways, just based on the circumstances. And it was a star of the largest film franchise ever, I mean, at the time. And the fact that he's come back to Broadway time and time again, and now he's finally got his award, was really awesome. And he looked so cute. I love the purple.
He's so adorable. Now, Ben Platt saying the character name, girl, please. Yeah,
I
we
know.
know you're playing that part in the movie. Okay, you don't have to be like such a lame. I hated that. I hated that moment. That was so stupid.
It was lame.
The guy,
It was pretty lame.
Joshua Boone and Skyler Coda Lynch were like, who? They were like, who's Charlie? Even I mean, sure, two Proseccos in, I was like, what? What? Who won instead of Daniel? Because I was looking at Daniel, but that was so stupid.
It was sort of
Oh,
cringy,
cringe.
but I will say, I was a little sad that Lindsay didn't complete the trifecta and also win, because watching the three of them perform, which, by the way, probably one of my top three performances of the night, it was perfect. Even the camera work, perfect. The three of them on stage, that chemistry, the way that they just clearly love each other. And I know it's the story that they all talk about is how they're truly lifelong friends now. Jonathan even called them soulmates. I really think that Lindsay could have collected her second Tony because her performance was brilliant.
I've had time to sit on it, and I did see, I think, all of those performances. I did. I saw all of them. Luckily, lucky for me. Oh my God. That's actually crazy. All seven I saw. I think Lindsay was the best. My opinion, of course. You know, I'm not a critic. I'm not a critic. I'm just a lover of the arts. And in fact, I even think of Lindsay, Daniel, and Jonathan. Lindsay may have been the best. When we saw Merrily on Broadway last,
Oh,
she took it.
I
She
know.
took it. And sure, the character gets a lot of material. I know I feel a little sad today, even though obviously Keisha Lewis, she's fantastic in Hell's Kitchen. I don't feel like she gets as much to do, obviously, as Lindsay does in Merrily. Definitely as Shoshana does in Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
In fact, I predicted that Shoshana was going to win just based on the momentum behind Hell's Kitchen, all the great reviews it got, all the nominations it got. And also, maybe this was just me. Shoshana's performance and her character left a much bigger impact for me than Keisha's character did. Do we get into the Hell's Kitchen discourse now, or should we move on?
Yeah.
Because I know we have a lot more to say about it, but I loved the performances and I love the original song Kaleidoscope. I thought it hit. Love Malia Joy Moon's voice. In fact, when she got up to give her acceptance speech later and she was kind of giving the raspy, I was like, oh, she kind of is her character in the show in a fun way. Keisha is amazing in the show. I guess where I struggle with it is like in the writing, and I'm about to give a Hell's Kitchen spoiler. So if you haven't seen it yet, warning right now, I would skip ahead. If you're listening to the pod at 2x speed, which I'm sure a lot of you do, I'm giving you even extra time here to really grab your phone, skip ahead. But Keisha's character, she has maybe 20 minutes of material, maybe 25. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the show because it feels like Shoshana was almost a co-lead at times, like how much she's on stage doing stuff with Malia. And you know, one of the big plot points about Keisha's character is that she ends up having cancer in act, you find out in act two, but then she, spoiler, 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 passes away off stage and then kind of comes back in this like ghostly moment. The writing just didn't hit for me in a way where I feel like maybe if we sat with that character more longer, like they focus more on that relationship and we really got to love her and see it through, I'd be like, oh my God, this emotional performance. Like we love kind of like a boy like Claudia vibes. You know what I mean? Like, come on. It just didn't do that for me. And so I was honestly surprised that she won. I had a feeling it was either going to be Lindsay or Shoshana. What did you think?
I thought it would be Keisha or Lindsay,
Okay.
only because everyone was sort of just in agreement about how like powerful and haunting Keisha's performance is. And I love when a veteran of the theater finally gets recognized. You know, she even said in her speech, I think 40 years ago this month or something like that, she ended up in Dreamgirls, and she has such a powerful, unique voice. I don't know who else I could have seen playing Miss Liza Jane in that way. And I think that's why it was very memorable to me. I agreed with you on all points about Hell's Kitchen, though. I mean, you and I were kind of looking at each other at various times throughout the show, like, what is happening? And you and I are rarely overly critical of things on this show because we are such appreciators of the arts. And I just think that, like, having heard all the buzz about it and then finally seeing it, it felt sort of like a redux of what maybe the writers felt like other musicals are and should be. My strongest inkling is that maybe it should have been a fully original score because it wouldn't have been then maybe boxed into certain moments. Granted, my favorite songs were everything that Brandon, Victor Dixon, and Shoshana Bean sang because those are the Alicia hits that we know.
Oh, so true. And look, I agree with you. Keisha is amazing. I love her. And it was a powerful performance. And as we're talking, I'm like, oh, maybe you've convinced me. You know, I can famously be turned on a dime with my opinions. She is amazing and her presence is fantastic. So that's probably what sat with voters. It's just interesting. Like, why didn't they go for Lindsay if they went for the other two? You know, did what happened there? That always intrigues me with like any show where like, you know, one of the actors doesn't win and all the other ones do. It's just always like, it's one of those things, I guess. But shout out to Leslie Rodriguez Kritzer, who is amazing in Spamalot.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Always have to give love, you know?
Yes. And, you know, I really hope that every other woman in that category becomes a friend of the pod one day.
Agree. And a lot of them have
While
Tonys
we're just on
already.
Hell's Kitchen, I feel like we're taking it sort of show by show at this
Yeah.
point. But while we're on the Hell's Kitchen topic, their performance was my least favorite of the night. I found that it was obviously overlong. I didn't think the medley flowed properly. And obviously they wanted to showcase all of their nominated performers, but I think it would have been stronger if they would have done one song and then maybe just had the Jay-Z Alicia Keys moment. Honestly, my biggest complaint isn't that Jay-Z did this pre-recorded bit with Alicia. This has happened so many times, y'all, over the years, where the singer or the songwriter or the star that is a part of the show participates. Bret Michaels was in the Rock of Ages performance. Dolly Parton introduced and sang part of 9 to 5. Sarah Bareilles played She Used to Be Mine during the Tonys. So when people are griping that Alicia was part of the performance or that Jay-Z, you know, they're part of the original song Empire State of Mind, that wasn't my issue. My issue was that they cut away from the cast during it. The cameras would have stayed on the stage where the cast was performing the choreo and doing, which that's one of my favorite numbers in the show. I mean, you and I were like lit during that number when
I
we
was like,
saw
oh, maybe this is my favorite musical I've ever seen. I'm just kidding.
Right, a love letter to New York, as
I
people like to
kid.
say. But focusing on this odd stairwell pre-recorded segment to me was not the move. And I think it did the cast a big disservice in that moment because they all clearly rehearsed that number. They were all there. Like, why even include them at that point? You know what I mean? If you're going to just disrespect the art that was happening, including Camille A. Brown's choreography, which was then not even showcased much.
Right. And also, it was minutes after Ariana, as the host of the show, was like, y'all, we're doing it live, the only place we do it live. And here we are having a pre-recorded moment. Again, I don't necessarily mind that much, but that was awkward.
I know you clocked that moment. The final Hell's Kitchen moment is probably just Malia Joy Moon winning Best Actress, which to me was a shock as well. I really felt I was, you know, we were testing the waters, seeing what people were thinking, and it seemed like it was going to go to Kelly, which in my mind, she should have just as many Tonys as Audra. Gilded Age Queens reign supreme. So when Malia was chosen, I was surprised.
I was sad.
Not unhappy. Oh, you were sad?
I was because I really thought it was Kelly's next Tony. I really did. In fact, back to when the show was at the Atlantic last summer, everyone was saying to me, Kelly's winning. When it goes to Broadway, Kelly's
Wow.
winning. And obviously, I've loved her forever. I've said it on our show, I've said it on other shows. She was unreal. She was unreal in Days of Wine and Roses. And I couldn't help but wonder if it was still running, would she have won?
That's the thing. Like the whole recency bias is definitely something to think about. It wouldn't have still been running because it was supposed to end at the end of April, anyways, but it would have at least been running a month longer that it would have stayed in people's minds.
Yeah,
So.
you're right. You're right. Yeah,
That is
and
tough.
this year was such a crapshoot with the five. I mean, like we were talking about this on Eli's live stream we did last week, but I think for like the first time in a long time, it could have been any of those women. Like
Yeah, which is
that's
fun.
so exciting. So after Keyshia won, I was like, oh, it's probably Malia. And again, Malia's great. I thought she was so good in the show. She was perfectly cast in Hell's Kitchen, down to like.
Oh.
When she sang with Alicia, I was like, I love her voice. Oh
Yeah.
my God, she's so good.
Her
But,
speech was beautiful. She is beautiful. She's so talented. Fun fact about her.
oh yeah.
She's the 100, this is from Gold Derby. She's the 101st person to win a Tony Award for their Broadway debut. And she's the 10th person to win in this category for best leading actress in a musical. Other luminaries include Cynthia Erivo, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Lea Salonga, Leslie Uggams, and Liza Minnelli. So I think that's a really kind of a prolific place to be.
Yeah.
Other recent debut winners are Andrew Belknap, Miles Frost, and Jodie Comer. So, you know,
Ooh, good
good company for Malia to
company.
be in.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, happy for her, obviously, but sad for Miss Kelly.
And I was actually rooting for Marianne Plunkett because I had seen her performance.
Marianne was unbelievable in Notebook. She really
Yeah,
was.
force them
Should
out
that
for
have been the
Notebook.
featured role? Should they put all three Allies and Noahs in featured, you think? For Notebook, not
You've
to
seen it twice, so I don't remember, but I do remember both of them kind of being on stage the whole time. And so it felt like
Yeah.
they were, speaking of memory pieces, you know, literally a memory piece. Okay, so we talked about some of the, you know, the acting wins. I think that covers most of them, at least with musicals. But what were some of your other favorite performances of the night?
Ooh, obviously The Outsiders was my favorite of the night. Beyond. They nailed the medley. It flowed so well.
I mean, Connor, you kind of pitched this medley to Jason Schmidt on our episode. You said it needs to open with Tulsa 1967
I did. I told him
and
that.
then go into something else and then maybe do the Rumble. And he, you know, I don't think he had any inkling at the time, but he was like, yeah, can we
Oh my God,
go?
love him. He looked
And
so
we
good.
also thought that Angelina would introduce them.
She looked so hot.
I love
I love
her.
her. She was giving. She was giving.
Apparently, she's dating Justin Levine.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow. She can give a shout out to her daughter for introducing her to the Outsiders then,
Right.
because that really came through.
Now, is the daughter who's a part of Outsiders the same one who's been in the press recently about wanting to drop Pitt from her last name?
It is. And that's the reason it's in the press, is because in the Outsiders playbill and all the materials is Jolie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
That makes
I
sense
know.
then. Okay, you can trace that back.
But wasn't it so funny to see her, Angelina, standing next to the car with Brody as a pony boy sitting there? I thought it was just such one of the silly moment. I love theater out of context is kind of hilarious, but especially when it's like award show out of context, it just always
Yeah.
makes me laugh.
It's no secret that you and I are Outsiders stans. I've seen it twice, you've seen it three times. It is to me, when it was halfway through, maybe at intermission, you and I looked at each other and said, this is the one. And it's
We know.
beautiful story, obviously an American story, one of those classics. There's that nostalgia aspect to it, but Donya Tamor's beautiful direction and the cast, just the synergy of it all coming together, it was brilliant. Brody Grant's incredible voice that hits on the Americana score that was written by Jamestown Revival. I think that everyone's firing it off on all cylinders with this musical, and I'm thrilled that it won the top prize.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. So their performance, one of my favorites.
It was great to see Jason Schmidt as well on stage. Yeah,
We love our soda pop.
we do.
We love him. And seeing the Rumble, I mean,
Oh.
I will say though, you still have to go experience it live because the energy, the way the water flows and they're dirty, it's so raw.
But I would say it was pretty damn close. It was the
It
essence.
was. I had the chills. Like the watch party I was at, everybody applauded. It was so
Oh,
exciting. And they
wow.
didn't do that for every single number. Another one that just sticks out to me that I was gagged by, maybe because it's like one of my favorite musicals, was during the Che Rivera tribute when they did America and Ariana DeBose bodied the choreography to America. I mean, she ate that. It reminded us like, oh, like, yeah, she is a star of stage. She is a
Are you
star of
saying
stage.
that Ariana DeBose did the thing?
Were you so happy that she referenced her BAFTA speech a year later, which weird, should have been last year, but were you happy about
I
that?
know, you know, it warmed my heart because I famously wrote my own version of it for last year's Tonys. I love
You did, and it was
Ariana
incredible.
DeBose. She said this is her last time hosting, so best wishes to whatever she goes on to doing next. It was supposed to be a revival of either Kiss of the Spider Woman or Sweet Charity, so whatever that might be.
Oh my God, either
But
one would
I
be
think
so good.
they would be safe to save it for 2025, 26, though, at this point. Anyways, speaking of tributes, Nicole Scherzinger's performance of What I Did for Love during the In Memoriam segment, for me personally, was everything. What I loved most about it was we know Nicole is a full throttle vocalist, but it wasn't all about her. It stayed about the In Memoriam, which for me was so touching. And like when they needed her to pop off a little bit, there was a break of the slideshow. And then when it came back in, you know, she was stayed, I wouldn't say restrained because it wasn't, but it just stayed a little bit more controlled. And I thought that was really amazing.
Oh, so true. So true. She ate that. And what a fun way to be like, she's coming. She's always been here, but she's also still coming, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
And then,
awesome.
of course, my other, so I mentioned I have top three favorite performances. And so it was Merrily, The Outsiders, and then Illinois, which was, I was really surprised they chose that number, but I cried. And it was beautiful. I love a queer kiss on stage. I love that it showcased those four. I would say they're like probably the principal dancers of the piece.
Yeah.
And it was able to really beautifully communicate a story through dance, which is what the show is all about, without feeling like it was them just doing like some big, really complicated choreo. It showed the emotional heart of that score. And
Yeah.
it made me want to go see it again,
Me
truthfully.
too. And also, Ricky Ubeda's legs in those shorts, those slutty shorts. It was
Yeah.
incredible. That was
Yeah.
the gay awakening Ring of Keys moment of the night, I think, for the little boys across America.
He stands on Cheyenne Jackson's shoulders from the Xanadu short shorts at a Tony's performance for sure.
100%. I know. I loved that.
And then I will say another performance that like nailed it on television was Water for Elephants. That they couldn't have picked a better setup for themselves.
Yeah, that was great. The acrobatics were stunning.
Mm-hmm.
I still couldn't hum the song to you. You know, they just did it yesterday. I still couldn't hum it back to you, which is tough ultimately. Yeah. But you know what?
The one song I was humming all night was Masquerade. And I'm really grateful that we got that live performance. Did it feel a little slapdash because of the kerfuffle? It did. I also thought something was going on with the sound.
Okay. Yeah. It didn't feel as epic as it could have been.
I honestly think they picked the wrong number.
You told me. You said to me either yesterday morning or the day before, they're going to do Masquerade, and I'm not happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that when I hear that guitar lick, it gives me chills. Like, it's a song you think you knew or grew up with when you hear that, right? Something you played on Guitar Hero as a kid. But I honestly think they should have done versions of Bright or something like that in like a newly crafted number, because to me, that is just like everything and absolute genius on stage. But I think that how would it have worked out of context? Who can say? Yeah. A lot of people felt that another performance that didn't work out of context was Cabaret. And I actually thought it was great. And the way that they were able to show that it's in the round while also still, you know, having the all the players come in through the audience and everything. And I obviously love Eddie Redmayne, despite whatever people think.
Dylan, it was odd. His performance specifically was a little odd, out of context, and maybe in context, but we'll talk about that another time. But I did love the Toast of Mayfair, Gail Rankin as Sally Bowles coming in through the audience. That was so fun. How she interacted with BB. I just love when they interact with audience mm-hmm. members. That always has made me like, it just makes me happy. Again, seeing performers and then people in the audience out of context, I guess, gives me a little giggle. But Stereophonic, I mean, have we gotten into it fully on the pod yet? I don't think, but it owns my, you know what? Like, it is truly...
You can say whatever you want on this podcast, Connor.
I know, but I want to have a job one day. But it is so freaking amazing. It really did the thing. I know we keep... That's in my head now that it did the thing. It deserved all the Tonys it won and then more. But I do feel complicated. This is my dose of drama. I feel complicated about the acting wins that did or did not happen in Stereophonic. Because although I love Will Brill, I told you, okay, Eli Gelb is winning or Tom Pachinko is winning almost any day over Will Brill in Stereophonic. Is Will hilarious, touching, dynamic, all the things. But again, maybe my crime of passion is thinking that the Tony should go to who like gets more to do, which I know isn't the award.
Right.
His performance wasn't even the one that I walked away like remembering. Maybe because it ends with Eli Gelb. That character has such an arc all the way from start to finish. Like you start and finish with him. And that's in the arc, I would say on stage, you see the most of.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's always there. He's quietly always there. In the front of the stage, which is really cool.
Love him so much. But I would have picked Pachinko. I really just love mm-hmm. him. But my biggest miss of the night, my biggest non-win, and I tweeted, not to reference our Twitter, but I did tweet about this. It's nothing against the person who did win, which I think, amazing moment, amazing speech, et cetera, et cetera. But my biggest loss was Sarah Pidgeon in Stereophonic, was Sarah not winning. I love her. I'm obsessed with her. I did not know who she was before the show, but damn, she is everything.
Yeah, she's everything. Beyond.
She conveys this naturalism, this star on the rise, who is literally dealing with two massive things at once, heartbreak and her dreams coming true. And the way this character just grows and ebbs and flows, and that with like even the sound of her voice that she's literally able to convey, she did that. She ate down. I can't believe she didn't win. Like she really should have had Tony for that performance.
I'm surprised she didn't win as well, but the Kara Young being nominated 3 times in a row in the same category. And everyone said last fall, oh, she is going to win the Tony. And then because it closed in February, you know, this is one example of recency bias, maybe not mattering as much.
Yeah.
But she's just really amassed a lot of, I wouldn't say like rabid fans, but there's so much goodwill around her and her talent. I mean, every role she's played has been so dynamic. And I loved her speech.
Loved.
The comforting thing that I always think of when there's someone like Sarah Pidgeon, Tom Pachinko, Eli Gelb, who was great in Skin Tight with Idina Menzel a couple of years ago, which I guess was pre-pandemic, is that they're going to be back and they're going to move on to doing whatever they're going to do. The show is obviously running until January. The star that is born with Sarah, since we're talking about her in particular, I'm comforted in knowing that she will be back. And we're going to be like, and remember when in her Broadway debut, she was nominated for Stereophonic and she played this Stevie Nicks-esque character. To me, that is, I'm comforted in that.
Like, again, it's one of those like debuts that you're just gagged for. And not to say that Juliana Canfield is not also perfectly cast and giving an incredible performance in that show as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, Carrie Young, the narrative is great. The speech was amazing.
Yeah, it was epic.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. That was one of the best speeches of the night for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best.
My favorite Stereophonic win was Daniel Auchin, who directed it. And I thought that his speech was just the way that he was able to describe the play. He was like, it's a room within a room within a room. And you're seeing things that maybe you're supposed to see and hear things that you're supposed to hear, but not hear. Like that was a loose quotation of it, but oh my God, it was Stereophonic to me. I keep saying to me, obviously it's to me, but like Stereophonic feels like a documentary about this tumultuous experience of putting your whole heart and soul into art while also being a person, and it all happening within the same space. And I think that that's why it's really taken off. And there, of course, because of the Fleetwood Mac sort of template that is unavoidable, as much as the actors even say that they don't, I think that there's, it's hard to avoid the three Brits coming together with the two Americans who are a couple, them taking off, the Rumours album comparison. Anyways, much love to Stereophonic. I'm so happy it's going to be running until January and that it won. I just love that it's the biggest winner of the night. Like a play winning the most awards at the Tonys is really cool.
Get it? Is that is that the stat? Yeah.
Five. And it is the most nominated play of all time. So love that.
So happy. Gosh, we've talked about so many things about last night. I mean, we didn't mention Shayna Taub winning two Tonys for this show.
Which I predicted.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Good on you.
I'm like a Suffs girly in a way. And I mean, it obviously, I think it deserved best score. It was the best musical theater score for sure of the season. And Shayna's ability to speak at Gilmore Girls pace, Sherman Palladino pace, while not even stuttering, was one of the most incredible moments for me. She's obviously a theater kid at heart, and I loved seeing her win. And I can't wait to see what she does next. But she's obviously starring in Suffs right now, so we might have to wait on that one.
Writing Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Or is she still involved?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. We know if, yeah.
Listeners, write in. Do we know if Shayna is still involved in Devil Wears Prada? Because I know they're changing a lot about it. New director, right?
Yeah, Jerry Mitchell's moving in with it.
Jerry Mitchell, and then obviously new cast. So I don't know if Shayna's still involved. But yeah, I loved her speeches. I don't know if that was the right performance choice for Suffs. When you're watching Suffs, spoiler, that's the last song of the show, Keep Marching, which has been stuck in my head all day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were testing our audio before this episode, we were saying, keep talking. <You know? laughs> It felt a little cheesy on the telecast. I don't know what song they should have done. Listen, I'm not.
I mean, it's a very earned moment in the show. I agree with you. People on Twitter were saying they should have done Great American Bitch. But I do think what would have been great about that is it does showcase a lot of the characters. And it shows that not everyone was this unified front on the struggle and the constant struggle that we still see today for equality and equity for women in the country, in this country. And it also adds in that element of race. And I love that this beautiful, diverse cast in body and experience all coming together, and that number was powerful. But I agree. I don't know if it was the choice. It kind of reminds me of when Come From Away did Welcome to the Rock. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that was right.
It's the Kalela curse.
But it ran long. And so hopefully the same is of Suffs.
I know. And now you wonder, okay, so what is the lifespan of a lot of these shows? We already have this season coming up where, I mean, I can't even count how many announcements we've heard. And would The Outsiders have run without a Tony win for Best Musical? I think it would have. So
yeah.
If that would have helped Suffs, I think. Are the grosses okay for Suffs? I don't know.
Yeah.
Will The Notebook survive this summer? Will a lot of these shows that didn't win survive? Yeah. It's one of those things that you get a little nervous about in the days following. Like
the only show that was fully shut out that's currently running is Water for Elephants. And so I wonder about that, but I think it's doing okay.
And Notebook.
You're right. Mother Play, Mary Jane, Here Lies Love, Grey House. Those shows are either closed or we're going to be closing soon. And then the only other play that's like still running in that capacity is Appropriate. And Sarah Paulson, amazing speech. Love her so much. It's crazy that this is her first Tony, because I feel like she should be an EGOT already. Like she's just one of those people.
Right?
But I highly recommend that if you get if anyone is in the city and trying to decide on a show.
Oh, cut to me today. Okay, dose of drama number two. I need to see Mother play. I'm like, oh my God, Jessica Lange. You know, I love CKB, Jim Parsons. You know, I'm like, oh, I need to see it. The clips were making me interested. I was like, oh, this is
Oh
like,
my God, I know.
I was, oh, this sounds so good. I'm researching. Okay, Second Stage Rush. Okay, Mother play has a Today Ticks Rush, blah, blah, blah. I messaged my friend who works on the show, and I was like, okay, so what do you know about the Today Ticks Rush from Mother play? I need to see it. You know, this is my last chance. I'm leaving town. He goes, Connor, I closed yesterday. I was so humiliated to not know that
Actually really
Mother
funny.
Play is no longer running.
I thought it had maybe at least another week in it.
To quote NeNe Leakes, it's devastating, don't you think? It is devastating. I can't believe I missed my chance to see Jessica Lange on Broadway.
I know.
That sucks. Am I okay?
Hopefully she'll be back.
Isn't that sad? Did you know? I've had June 30th in my head. I had it in my head.
But anyways, overall, I had a blast. I thought the
Yes.
Tonys were beautiful and incredible. And my favorite part about it is the way that it brings community together, but also fans from all over the world together. And
Love
that's
it.
hopefully what we're able to do with this episode of the podcast. So let us know your thoughts and, you know, what you were disappointed in, what you loved, your favorite performances and whatnot. Feel free to disagree with us. And I do think, you know, that was your dose of drama, right?
I
About
gave a
Mother
couple.
Play.
Yeah, I
Okay.
gave a couple.
My dose of drama, the first one I can just think of is, although there were so many amazing performances, I really would have loved to have seen a little bit of Gatsby, a little bit of Notebook, a little bit of Heart of Rock and Roll, even though it wasn't nominated, because I don't think that this award ceremony this year highlighted the scape of Broad, like the landscape of Broadway right now. Whereas I feel like in other years past, like you might even see the Jersey Boys pop up to do something, or you see the Hairspray Cruise. And I know that there's complaints about things like that, but to me, it shows that Broadway is not just the new things, but also a lot of things that are still
Yeah.
running and going on. Oh my God, speaking of the Wicked moment with Adina and Cynthia.
Adina was giving, Cynthia was giving nothing.
She felt thrown off guard or something. Because Adina said, I'm gonna go off script for a second. And Cynthia was like, oh, okay.
I love the way Adina said it too. She's like, that movie you're gonna be in. That was so cute. And Cynthia had nothing to say. She had no response, no nothing fun and cheeky to give back to the legend.
I was surprised by that.
Maybe you're right. Maybe she was thrown. But come on, Cynthia. Give us a wink.
Give us a little yes and like your bestie Ariana does.
With your matching tattoos.
They have matching tattoos.
Didn't they both get like Wicked tattoos?
That's cute. I love that.
I loved the Wicked moment, but I know you're right. I wish there was like a big company front.
Right, where everyone's in
What they call it when
costume,
the
like
company
that one
comes front.
year. Or the one
Yeah.
year they
Oh,
all
that was.
sang You'll Never Walk Alone with Josh Groban and they appeared on risers and costume shows.
Legendary and insane. I know it really brings the community together. I said this to you recently. Loved this season. I feel like I have had a reinvigorated my theater kid energy of being obsessed with things was reinvigorated this season in such a big way. Dylan, I'm listening to show tunes again.
That's amazing. For the listeners who don't know, Connor often says that I love to talk about Broadway, but I don't necessarily love to listen to it all the time.
Just so sick and sad to admit,
It's
but Dylan,
not.
I've got these, you know, My Days sung by Joy Woods from the Notebook musical. It's up there for me in my current plays, and that would have torn the house off the roof last night.
I
There was
know.
not a big belty moment, was there, on
No,
the any of the
belty moment.
performances. We needed My Days.
Yeah,
That would have
now that
been
you mentioned it, there
so
wasn't,
good.
other than Nicole Scherzinger, I would say.
Bring belting back to the Tonys and bring full everyone in representation. I love when they do the montage of all the plays. I don't think we got that
Right.
this year.
You know what? There will be belting next year with Adina and Kristen and Nicole and Audra and Jennifer Simard and Megan Hilty and Jasmine Rogers as Betty Boop
And
and
Adrienne Warren.
Adrienne Warren in the last 5 years. And now, you know, there's also this rumor that Thelma and Louise musical might be happening with Amanda Seyfried. And I think it was Evan Rachel Wood.
It was. I'm
So.
shaking. Dylan, my favorite part, of course, about this season is getting to see these shows with you and getting to talk to the people who are parts of
Yes.
them. Because, you know, we forever, we wanted to be a part of the Broadway community. And I feel like we found a niche for ourselves where we are involved. We are bringing theater to people's ears and giving them little glimpses of not only our tastes, but getting to know the artists behind the art when we bring them new episodes of Drama every single Wednesday. So thank you for
Every single
another
Wednesday.
season of the theater together. We don't technically do seasons of the show, I guess. We just do the years of like every
You mean
November.
as a weekly year-round podcast? That's right.
Period. It's been so
Yeah,
fun.
you were saying earlier, like if we haven't had someone from one of your favorite shows, they're coming, but also let us know who you want because we do have to, constantly be on our toes booking guests, and we would love to know who you want to hear, the behind the scenes stories, the tea, the audition stories, the Ring of Keys moment, the doses of drama, the theater, the pop culture, the love and the light.
Oh,
So,
period.
on that note, if you're not following us already and you found this Tony's recap because you wanted to hear what two gay ginger twins have to say about Broadway this year and the Tony Awards, and you like what you heard, check us out on at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, at The Drama Pod on TikTok. Connor is at Connor McDowell. I feel like I'm Malia all of a sudden with like a rasp.
You're literally Malia Joy Moon.
And I'm at Dylan McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.
Drama!